These Are Your Days by Elder Neil A. Maxwell of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Note, Elder Neil A. Maxwell passed away on the 21st of July, 2004, as this issue of the Ensign was being prepared for publication. End of note. After reciting a litany of social ills during his time, Mormon consoled his son Moroni, suggesting that somber world conditions could unnecessarily weigh thee down. Moroni chapter 9, verse 25. Today I write lest you be unnecessarily weighed down. What follows will include several stern but needed prophecies. Yet my comments will mostly be about some very reassuring and positive things. Though I write primarily to the youth of the church, these assurances have ready application to all gospel teachers who have been entrusted with nurturing this royal generation. My text is a later Nephi's phrase about his own time and season on earth. As he became less nostalgic for an earlier time and more submissive as to doing his duty in his particular season, he said, "I am consigned that these are my days. I invite young men and women to do likewise by accepting your discipleship in these your days." Helaman chapter 7, verse 9. Societies as well as individuals can sleep cushioned and unawares, especially if sedated by materialism and ease. Those who remain sedated will fail to meet their rendezvous. Events can, however, constitute a wake-up call. In secular history, for instance, the summer and early autumn of 1939 brought the most beautiful weather in memory to England. Haunting remembrances of the terrible devastation of World War I, along with the hovering prospects of a new war, made appeasement so attractive to so many. Awakened, however, the British later rallied to their finest hour. Lest young disciples too sleep, I will now note several prophecies, putting your own times in needed perspective. The last days will certainly be more challenging to young disciples than simply coping with sharp economic downturns. In these your days, the love of many shall wax cold, resulting in various and serious social consequences. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Widespread despair caused by iniquity is prophesied too. See Moroni chapter 10, verse 22. Hence you need to keep the two great commandments, so that those two lamentable conditions do not characterize you. If your humility is because of the word, it will not be fleeting. In contrast, compelled humility often fades quickly. See Alma chapter 32, verses 13 through 16. Various forms of help are near at hand, including the church's stakes that are to be for a defense and for a refuge from the storm, a real blessing. Doctrine and Covenants, section 115, verse 6. Furthermore, in the last days you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and the whole earth shall be in commotion, and men's hearts shall fail them. Doctrine and Covenants, section 45, verse 26, see also section 88, verse 92. Such failing hearts suggest not cardiac arrests, but a loss of will and hope. But again, such symptoms need not characterize you, nor your responses to life. You will see such things, of course, but if managed in the framework of faith, these need not weigh you down. Even the prophesied global commotion will include a dimension of redemptive turbulence. For the kingdom of the devil must shake in order that some therein will be stirred up unto repentance. 2 Nephi chapter 28, verse 19. The Lord has His own unique way of getting good things out of bad situations, again and again. The earth in commotion. In the days of young disciples, the nations of the earth will be in distress, with perplexity, foretelling a time of unusual perplexity and bewilderment. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. There will be so many rocks and so many hard places for some to get between. No wonder we rightly and reassuringly sing, "We thank Thee, O God, for a prophet, to guide us in these latter days." Young disciples will have the blessed ongoing direction of the Lord through His prophets. After all, the restored gospel includes the reassuring truths most needed in any age. Proximate and tactical troubles do not, for instance, diminish from such reassuring strategic truths. For example, we are all spirit sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, and encouraging genealogy without temporal and national borders. Additionally, there is a redeeming plan of salvation that provides the ultimate security for the righteous. We likewise can receive the relevant and saving gospel ordinances, another great source of strength for us as individuals. The Lord loves you. Meanwhile, don't worry if you cannot give glib explanations as to the meaning of all things happening to you or around you. The Lord loves you, His children, just as Nephi wrote. See 1 Nephi chapter 11, verse 17. Spiritual certitude can exist amid distress and perplexity. So many positive and prophetic promises are there to help Latter-day disciples to cope. The Lord said comfortingly, "I am in your midst." Doctrine and Covenants, section 38, verse 7. "And ye cannot bear all things now. Nevertheless, be of good cheer, for I will lead you along. The kingdom is yours, and the blessings thereof are yours, and the riches of eternity are yours." Doctrine and Covenants, section 78, verse 18. God watches the times and seasons. He knows your individual bearing capacities. In the very, very last days, for example, He will display His mercy in an unusual way, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Matthew chapter 24, verse 22. Thus you can have full faith and trust in God, His mercy and goodness. As the psalmist wrote, "Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Psalm 20, verse 7. We should not trust too much in modern weaponry either. God has transcending capacities. "I am able to do mine own work. I will show unto the children of man that I am able to do mine own work." 2 Nephi chapter 27, verses 20 through 21. Is He ever? He not only urges us to trust Him, but invites us to cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Enjoy faith. Remember, too, that your faith covers all portions of life's trail. You can have clear faith in the ultimate outcomes at the end of the trail, but still find vexing uncertainties in the steps immediately ahead. The Lord knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. You, however, function in the muddled, mortal middle. Both the help and comfort of the Holy Ghost are thus much needed for the short run, too. Hence you are to proceed with your lives within what is allotted to you, while letting adversity highlight any need for some personal and individual course corrections. See Alma chapter 29, verse 3. Happily, discipleship carries within itself its own witness that it is the true way of living. It is self-reinforcing. The very first verse of the Book of Mormon is also very instructive concerning another blessing given to most all of you, being born of goodly parents. In the unfolding of your lives, you too may see many afflictions, though having also been highly favored of the Lord. You too can be blessed by relying on your knowledge of the goodness of God. 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 1. By understanding that God is perfect in His goodness, Nephi kept his afflictions and trials in perspective, which is the challenge of discipleship in any age and any circumstance, including these your days. Prophetically, President Gordon B. Hinckley said to us at a recent general conference that current events in the world did not constitute the all-consuming calamity. President Hinckley also cautioned, "Peace may be denied for a season. We may even be called on to suffer in one way or another. Our safety lies in repentance. Our strength comes of obedience to the commandments of God. This is the crux of the entire matter, obedience to the commandments of God." President Lorenzo Snow, 1814 to 1901, further reassured us, saying, "We are here because we are worthy to be here, and that arises, to a great extent at least, from the fact that we kept our first estate. I believe that when you and I were in yonder life, we made certain covenants, that in this life when we should be permitted to enter it, we would do what we had done in that life, find out the will of God, and conform to it. We thus come to this life, to borrow Wordsworth's phrase, trailing clouds of glory, but also trailing traits developed in the premortal world. Be prepared. Pay heed, therefore, to your inborn spiritual reflexes. Use even more the gifts of the Holy Ghost, who can fill you with hope and perfect love. Moroni chapter 8, verse 26. He can enlighten your mind, and shall fill your soul with joy. Doctrine and Covenants, section 11, verse 13. How precious and relevant these gifts of hope, love, and joy are in any age, but certainly in yours, when so many feel unloved, hopeless, and sad. The foregoing is just a small sample of positive promises. Hence, while we are clearly instructed to notice the leaves on the fig tree, to know when summer is nigh, we are not to sit around moodily staring at the fig trees. See Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. There is so much work to be done in the Lord's vast vineyard. Many in the world, at the time of our all-consuming calamity, will be taken by total surprise, like a thief in the night. Others, however, will be like a woman in travail, where the pains of labor are foretelling, even in the days of sorrow. Doctrine and Covenants, section 136, verse 35. Still others, the poor and the meek, without being preoccupied, will be looking for the signs. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 35, verse 15, also section 45, verse 39. Amid all this, God, who lives in eternal now, is relentlessly and lovingly accomplishing His work, using His unique foreknowledge to ensure that all His purposes will prevail, not just some of them. The prophet Joseph said, "The great Jehovah contemplated the whole of the events connected with the earth, pertaining to the plan of salvation, before it rolled into existence, or ever the morning stars sang together for joy." He knew of the depth of iniquity that would be connected with a human family, their weakness and strength, their power and glory, apostasies, their crimes, their righteousness, and iniquity. He was acquainted with the situation of all nations and with their destiny. He knows the situation of both the living and the dead, and has made ample provision for their redemption. His ample provision is more than adequate. But faith is not built in a wordless vacuum. Instead, it takes hearing, pondering, believing, behaving, and likening the Word to ourselves. See 1 Nephi chapter 19, verse 23. The restoration has given us the vital key of knowledge that Jesus said had been lost. It is the fullness of the Scriptures that includes many plain and precious things to anchor and guide us as disciples. See Joseph Smith translation, Luke chapter 11, verse 53. For they will hear my voice and shall not be asleep. Doctrine and Covenants, section 35, verse 21. Be comforted. God has a timetable for this planet and for each person, but all things must come to pass in their time. Doctrine and Covenants, section 64, verse 32. Within all of the dramas cited are many individual dramas, making it imperative for you to allow the Lord to tutor you amid your discipleship. Enoch rejoiced, and so can you, over the grand consoling reality regarding God. And yet thou art there. Moses chapter 7, verse 30. Privileged Enoch even saw the God of heaven weep. See verse 29. Yet Enoch was very discouraged by the gross wickedness anciently. He said he would refuse to be comforted. Verse 44. The mentoring Lord, however, told Enoch to lift up your heart and be glad and look. Verse 44. Then revealed to Enoch was Jesus' atonement in the meridian of time, and also the latter-day restoration. Enoch, who had been so distraught, now rejoiced. Do not refuse to be comforted. Let the revelations comfort you. Let the Scriptures refresh you. You young disciples are so privileged, and though the times in which you will live will be turbulent, there will be glorious accomplishments too. Thus I have desired to place some perspective on these your days, and I salute you for what your generation represents, and the divine compliment God has given you by placing you here now. Make use of these your days, for as you become more like Jesus, there will be more and more things He will give you to do. My feelings are such that I salute you. Perhaps this feeling is so strong because I have a more keen sense of who you really are than you do. A clear picture of your rendezvous in these, your days, speaking of you collectively. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. End of the article, These Are Your Days, by Elder Neil A. Maxwell of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles.